Turn tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, I want to preach tonight from a great verse with a great question, which so much can be said concerning this question that we find here in the book of Matthew chapter 22. I want to read verses 41 through 46, and then we will focus really tonight primarily on verse number 42. But let me begin reading at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we come to the throne of grace, we thank you for the privilege of reading your word this evening. And now, Father, I would ask that you would enable me, an unworthy servant, to be able to open my mouth and to share the message that the Holy Spirit would desire to be shared. I pray this evening that needs will be met. This audience here tonight does not represent the total audience because there's others outside of this building that are viewing this service tonight. And I pray, my Father, that spiritual needs will be met. Some may have the dire need of salvation through Christ. Others maybe have the need of returning to the Lord in dedication, commitment, revival, a stirring up of their soul. They know the Lord, but maybe some tonight need to hear the message to simply get back on the firing line for God. This evening, Lord, every name on that prayer list that has been read, you knew all about the names even before we had the service tonight, and you know about the needs of all the lives this evening whose names were called. Now bless us now together as we focus in the Word at a question that was asked by the dear Savior himself. We ask this in his name. Amen. What think ye of Christ? And I'm using the thought tonight, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? That question there in verse 41, or verse 42 rather, certainly gives us the thought, what do you think of Jesus? I want us to think about that question tonight. The answer to that question, what do we think of Jesus, reflects many things. It says a lot about us. First of all, we could say tonight that the answer to that question reflects priority. As a Christian, if we're thinking rightly concerning the Lord, then that will be evidenced in our lives. And that will display a priority that we need to have. The answer also is a question that determines destiny. Not only does it reflect priority, but it determines destiny. The answer to that question determines where a person is going to spend eternity. If he is viewed less than being God and Savior, substitute for our sin upon the cross, then our view of him is not in the context of that which would produce or bring salvation. So it can determine destiny. Maybe I can illustrate that again. Jesus was more than just a historical person. He was more than just simply one who lived and lived a perfect life and lived upon this earth for a brief span of time and then was crucified. He was more than that. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's eternal God. So what think ye of Christ? May I say tonight that he was all that he ever claimed to be. He is the eternal God. We could take John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That verse lets us understand that the Word, namely Christ, He was co-eternal. In the beginning was the Word co-eternal. The Word was with God. He was coexisting. And the Word was God. He's co-equal. So what think ye of Christ? The biblical answer would be, I think He is the divine, almighty God. Exactly as the Scriptures lay out. If anyone this evening can say along the lines of the poet who said, I traveled alone through this wilderness of sin, but never knew peace, found only in Him. I drank from the polluted cisterns of sin that quenched not the burning of thirst from within. I bask in the seasonable pleasures of sin while lacking real pleasures that never will end. I tasted earth's dainties and morsels of sin. My soul did famish, my life's light grew dim. I found full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Thank God, I now know Him as Savior and friend. What think ye of Christ? Do you know Him tonight as Savior and friend? Now, let's do something this evening, and I've preached from this passage of Scripture many times, and I've brought messages along the same idea of this question in this verse. And when I read this verse, I'm always inclined to be thinking about an imaginary court hearing. And let's imagine that Jesus was on trial. Let's imagine that there were witnesses that appeared in the courtroom. Let's imagine Him being on trial before the tribunal of those. First of all, let's look at it like this. Let's imagine Him being on trial before the tribunal of those who were His contemporaries when He was upon this earth. What did they say about Him? What about those that walked the same dusty trails the same time that He did? What about those that saw Him, that watched Him, that listened to Him, that were privileged to be taught by Him? What about even those that never really locked hold by faith of the acceptance of who He really was? But yet invariably, the testimonies of the people that surrounded Him, even His enemies, gave testimony, maybe not intentionally, but nevertheless, they still gave testimony of the fact of who He really is. Even His enemies. Let's imagine now this tribunal with Jesus Himself being questioned. What think ye of Christ? We read the answer of His contemporaries in the Scripture. We find what they said of Him. We read their statements. And it's as though when the question is asked, what think ye of Christ? We can clearly read what they thought of Him. Even some of His enemies. First of all, what about those Pharisees? Those Pharisees. What think ye of Christ, Pharisee? What's your opinion concerning Him? Well, the Pharisees gave their answer. Here's one in particular. This man receiveth sinners. That's the answer. One of the Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners. Now, what an answer. Actually, that was a good answer. That was a good answer coming from a person with a bad spiritual standing. It was a good answer. This man receiveth sinners. This truth is the very thing that makes us love Him. That's why we love Him tonight. Because He receiveth sinners. That's actually the glory of the gospel. He does receive sinners. And we who are saved are proof of that. Aren't we glad tonight this man receiveth sinners? That accounts for us being here this evening. What think ye of Christ? In the efforts of the Pharisees to accuse him, they complimented him. For that was a reason for him coming to this earth. When they said, this man receiveth sinners, they gave him a high compliment. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now imagine, here's one of his contemporaries, Caiaphas. Imagine Caiaphas being on the witness stand. He was a chief priest when Jesus was tried. He was in the council chamber when they found him guilty. Caiaphas. He condemned him. Caiaphas, what do you think of Christ? What's your opinion concerning him? His answer, as recorded in Scripture, is this. He's spoken blasphemy. That would have been his answer. He's spoken blasphemy. Then let's say someone asked him, in what way, Caiaphas? I heard him say this. Hereafter, shall you see the Son of Man coming, sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And that statement was blasphemous in the eyes of Caiaphas. Well, listen to this. Another one of his enemies, but yet gave a true testimony, because Jesus will come back. He will come back in the clouds of glory. If Jesus was on trial and there was a defense, the defense might say, let's imagine now he's on trial. And let's imagine that his defense, they might ask a question. Well, what's wrong with that statement? Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. What's wrong with that statement? Well, the prophets even announced his coming. They were 100% accurate. They said he's coming the first time, and he did. They were accurate. He is coming back. He is. What think ye of Christ? His enemies were confounded and actually spoke words of truth unintentionally on their part. Pilate, what do you think of Christ? Pilate. You can remember that name, can't you? Well, what about Pilate's great answer? I find no fault in him. That's what he said. I find no fault in him. But Pilate didn't go far enough. He needed to not only not find fault in him, he needed to find favor in him. You see, a person is not redeemed because they choose the innocent approach and say, I find no fault in him. A person is only redeemed when they proceed further and say, I find favor in him. I'm a sinner. He took my sin debt. He paid my sin debt at Calvary. I find favor in him. I believe that he can save me. What think ye of Christ? Judas, what do you think of Christ? Judas, you remember Judas? Well, now, you know this about him. You know that Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then Judas betrayed him with a kiss. Judas, what do you think of Christ? Think about Judas, one of the disciples, seeing the Lord in person with his naked eyes, following him as he did all that he did upon this earth, including the time in Bethany, where Jesus stood over the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. Judas witnessed that miracle. Judas, We're told in Scripture, he went to his own place. He betrayed his Lord. Judas gives the answer. Now remember, he came into the presence of the chief priests, threw the money on the table, and let's listen to his answer. Judas, what think you of Christ? Here it is. I have betrayed innocent blood. I have betrayed innocent blood. Imagine now asking the witnesses and hearing his answer when he did give while smiting upon his breast, truly, this was the Son of God. Stay with me just a little longer. Let's consider some of his other contemporaries. What about the dying thief upon that cross? He answered that question. At first, that dying thief, he railed upon him. He reviled him. But then his sanity, so to speak, returned through Holy Spirit promptings. And the truth dawned on his soul in the twilight of his life. Mr. Thief, what do you think of Christ? You know his answer. This man hath done nothing amiss. He's done nothing amiss. A few other contemporaries, unusual ones, but what about even the demons themselves? The demons. What did they have to say? How could they have answered the question, what think you of Christ? Well now, read the Gospels. What did they say on one occasion? They called him the Son of God. The unclean spirit cried, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. That's a demon saying that. What think ye of Christ? Interestingly enough, his enemies were forced to vindicate the defendant and to condemn themselves. While they spoke of him and acknowledged him, they were condemning themselves in the process. If Jesus was on trial, it would be a mock trial. If he was guilty of anything, it's loving the world, dying on Calvary, shedding his blood because of loving mankind. If he was a defendant, the defendant's name has. That is now, if Jesus was a defendant, his lovely, lofty, high and lifted up name has, is, and forever will be the name above every other name. That is a fact. His enemies were compelled to acknowledge him. And may I say tonight that there's coming a time that every son of Adam's race will bear testimony at some point of time that he's who he claimed to be. Philippians chapter 2 verse 11, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Confession is coming. People today can mock him, can ridicule him, can reject him, make fun of his word, and glamorize sin in the process. But my friend, the great God and creator of heaven and earth, is the same one that came to this earth, who died on Calvary's cross. And if God would judge his son in the sinner's stead, there's no way, shape, or form anyone will ever get to heaven by bypassing Calvary. And be clear of something tonight. Every tongue, including every atheist, every infidel, every Christ rejecter, including some of the great dictators down through the years, Adolf Hitler included, will one day answer, thou art the Son of the living God. What think ye of Christ? If he was on trial, And we summoned his friends that were here when he lived, that journeyed with him, accompanied him, with him on the boat, with him throughout his earthly life. What would they say? What think ye of Christ? Few of his notable friends we know about. We've read about them. We've preached about them. We've studied them. Let's take the last of the Old Testament prophets. Let's take the forerunner of Christ. Let's take the one who was 6 months born before the Savior. Let's consider his answer. John the Baptist. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I see John the Baptist approaching with his leathern girdle, his hairy coat, as the New Testament describes him. And I can hear him shouting, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist was a person that got everyone's attention. I believe the word "behold," they stopped in their tracks. John the Baptist, what do you think of Christ? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then he follows up, "I bear record that this is the Son of God." I wonder, and I also know, what some of the angelic host would have said. "Angels on high, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" What is the answer of the angels of heaven to that question? Well, they saw him long before we did. They saw him step out of the bosom of his Father before time. They saw him step down from eternity into time. They witnessed his power, his splendor. They knew his existence from even in eternity past. They observed him, those holy angels. They would have seen him when he appeared to Moses and the burning bush. Those angels would have seen and witnessed the Old Testament account in the wilderness and seen every droplet of manna falling out of heaven to the ground. Those angels, I think they would have been thinking about he, the bread of life. I think they would have been thinking when they saw that white coriander seed looking manna falling from heaven. Those angels would have said, "That's God's Son. That's a picture, that's a type of God's Son." Those angels, they would have rejoiced in the one who is the sustainer of life. They saw him when he left heaven, left the throne. They saw him come down to the manger. What scene it must have been. Well, we have their witness recorded, do we not? The wonderful message of Christmas. Those angels, I wonder, and I know what they said. What was contained in their voices? You know the nativity account. Shepherds in the field, watching their flocks by night. You know the silence of heaven being broken. You know the Christmas story. But now, let's ask them if we could. Angels, what think ye of Christ? Form your answer from what we read. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What think you of Christ? He's the Savior. From their lips. What do you think of Jesus? If we could ask those angels further, What do you think of Jesus, angels? Well, imagine what they could have said at the time Christ was resurrected. What think you of Christ? Their answer would have been, I think he's a mighty conqueror. I witnessed him conquering death, hell, and the grave. That's what I think of him. Two of them in particular. What would be their answer? Here is what we know about those two I'm talking about. They would say, we were there when Mary came to the tomb weeping and looked in and saw us sitting at the head and the feet of where the body of Jesus had lain. They could have said that, couldn't they? Where he had lain. We asked her why she was weeping, for he is risen. And that's a paraphrased version of how they spoke to her. Why are you weeping? He is risen. Now, in this imaginary jury pool, let's imagine that we could call the redeemed saints of glory who have seen him face to face. Let's imagine, or try to imagine, right now in heaven, the redeemed, ransomed host of God in glory right now. What would they be saying right now? If we could hear from heaven, we could hear a shout, we could hear them, they would be glorifying and magnifying his name. In fact, John the Revelator gives us a little bit of an insight of the climate of heaven, of how the ransomed host of God are reacting. And here it is. Worthy, and okay, let me go to the first of the verse I'm going to give you. John heard, Revelation, John heard a shout round about him, 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands of voices saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What think ye of Christ? He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all glory. That's what they would be saying. The redeemed saints of God on this earth, we can take up that same echo. We can join with heaven in singing even now, because I know, and I think I'm speaking on behalf of all of you tonight that are saved, you would gladly join in with the voices saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for he's redeemed me. We can say that tonight, couldn't we, child of God? We can say, he's redeemed me. So what an appropriate statement. Worthy is the Lamb. Well, now, we know this. We know how God the Father answered that question, what think ye of Christ? We already have his answer. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We know what the Father thought. Well, now, what about Thomas? Thomas, doubting Thomas, my Lord and my God. What about Peter? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the feeble lips of those under conviction have given their answers when they cried out, and that includes us here tonight, most of us, I would think. Our feeble lips also, I know mine did, once cried out, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, deserving hell, but come into my heart and save me. And I found him to be real. I found him to be precious. And we that have cried out that prayer with believing faith, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, we can call him Savior, we can call him Redeemer, and we can call him Friend. But I want to close tonight on the most serious note that I believe I could ever close any message on. I believe that the day is coming that every son of Adam's race will acknowledge him. But the tragedy of it all is multitudes will be acknowledging him even at the peril of losing their soul forever. It'll be too late. One is much better off right now saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me right now than one day being forced to have to. I want to close with a passage of scripture tonight that should shock terror and cause trembling in the minds and hearts of any unrepentant person. But I know this also. I know that the devil is doing all he can to cloud the minds of people, to dull their minds, and to keep them from responding to the truth. But nevertheless, I close with God's precious, peerless word. And again, come back to that question. What think ye of Christ? Let's hear the final tribunal from the throne of God. Let's hear the final closing arguments on behalf of all lost humanity that have chosen to live in sin, that have scoffed their way out into eternity, but too late. Let's hear how the court case goes and how it's going to end in terms of the eternal fate of the condemned forever. Here it is. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. I know what service this is. I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's primarily a Bible study time. But I'm also aware of the fact tonight that there are many people outside this building that are watching this service. I want to tell you, sin is nothing to joke about. If there is a God in heaven, and there he is, he's holy. He's righteous. He will not acquit the wicked. A person would be wise to flee as fast as they could to Calvary, to humble before a holy God before it's too late. I know the times in which we're living. I understand there's a falling away. Understand that there's lethargy in our land. Understand that people are mocking at sin. Understand that sin calloused sinners are seemingly getting worse and worse and worse. And our society and our world is as dangerous a place to live as it's ever been. But lay that aside. God's standards of salvation is still the very same as it's always been. The same message that Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached to his crowd in London, England in the 19th century and had multitudes of people flooding, coming down the streets of London into his tabernacle and people being saved left and right. That same God saves sinners today. But the message is still the same. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? Is He just another one that you consider along with other beings, other gods, perfect man who lived? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? Are you saying tonight He's not worthy of my accepting Him? He's not worthy of my paying homage to Him? Are you saying tonight He's not worthy of my attributing to Him the deity and the Godship He is? Are you saying my sin, my life is more important than my soul? What think ye of Christ? That question determines destiny. And that question tonight determines our testimony, our character as a Christian. Because if our answer is, what think you of Christ? Whose son is He? He's the lover of my soul. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my number one companion. So therefore, because He's Lord, I'm going to give Him my all. I'm going to let Him have everything. He's worthy of praise, of glory, and honor. For me as a Christian, no longer will it be me first and my Savior second. It's going to be Jesus first and me second. Because I've answered that question, what think you of Christ? Well, He's my loving God. And I'm going to love Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to put Him first, because that's the very least that I can do in light of what He's done for me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, this may be a good time tonight for your people to say to themselves and to the Lord, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my friend, and I want to rededicate my entire being to Him. I want Him to be all. I want to present my body a living sacrifice unto Him, because I'm answering from the heart. He's number one, and I'm going to act and live like He's number one. But Father in heaven, right now, I fear the state of some that could be watching, that have never been saved, that have gone through life thus far taking chances. Help them to realize they will one day appear before the great tribunal, the great white throne, and it'll be too late. Dear Father, help people to realize tonight the same precious Savior who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Well, one day, as judge say, depart from me. I never knew you. So, Father, if there's anyone right now that's watching this broadcast that's never settled it once and all with God and made sure they're saved, may they right now humble down before you, Lord, crying out, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm heading for hell. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. For Jesus' sake, come into my heart, save me." May someone tonight pray that prayer, dear Lord. And then they can answer, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is He? He is my newfound friend, my Savior, my Lord." Father, if anyone needs to come tonight at this invitation just to talk to you, Lord, at this altar as a Christian, may they do so this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.